In Washington, I'm Amy Scott, in for David Brancaccio, with the Marketplace Midday Update. President Obama is in Vietnam today, where he announced that the United States will fully lift a decades-long embargo on the sale of lethal arms to that country. Business is a key focus of the trip. Trade between the countries adds up to $45 billion a year, the majority of it stuff Vietnam sells to us. Marketplace's Lewis Wallace has been following this story for us. Lewis, give us a little bit of the history of this arms embargo.
The two countries started to warm back up to each other more than 20 years ago. Here's President Obama speaking at a press conference today with the president of Vietnam.
The transformation in the relations between our two countries is remarkable. Over the past two decades, our trade has surged nearly 100-fold, supporting jobs and opportunities in both countries.
But actually selling lethal weapons to Vietnam is kind of a big step, especially given that some NGOs still have major concerns about Vietnam's human rights record.
Why this decision now?
Well, the two countries have been working on the Trans-Pacific Partnership trade deal together. The deal would give Vietnamese clothing manufacturers better access to U.S. markets. And there's also the South China Sea, where China's been increasing its military presence. Bonnie Glaser is Senior Advisor for Asia at the Center for Strategic and International Studies.
It is, I believe, the shared concern about how China is using its military power, uncertainty about what its real ambitions are in the region that really has driven the U.S. and Vietnam closer together.
The South China Sea is a super important nexus of commerce, including more than $1 trillion of U.S. trade each year.
And there are some other signs of increased cooperation between the countries today.
Yeah, today Boeing announced sales of 100 airplanes to a Vietnamese commercial airline, and GE announced an agreement with the Vietnamese government to develop wind power there.
All right, Marketplace's Lewis Wallace, thank you.
Thanks, Amy.
Joining us for a closer look now at the markets is Karen Cavanaugh. She's a strategist with Voya Investment Management. Hi, Karen.
Good morning.
So we've got some economic data coming out this week. What will you be looking for?
I will be looking at new home sales tomorrow. The home sales were sort of struggling to gain momentum in the first quarter, but I really think that is poised to change, and that's based on good job growth, and interest rates are still low. So I think the housing market is going to continue to be a bright spot in the U.S. economy.
And how do you expect the Fed to be digesting all of this over the next couple of weeks? Everyone's sort of focused on if and when we might see a rate increase.
The Fed knows that the U.S. economy is in good shape, but the market, on the other hand, is a little bit nervous about a rate increase. Now, it looks like the Fed is becoming more hawkish, and that means we probably will see an increase sometime in the near future. I think the market will be okay. I think it'll be a little bit unsettled at first, but then we should see the market move forward, especially as earnings continue to recover. So I think the market will be a little unsettled, but that things will get better.
All right. Karen Cavanaugh, market strategist with Voya Investment Management. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Summer vacation is almost here, if you're lucky enough to have it. For many families, sleepaway camps and trips to the beach are in order. But for a lot of parents, public school has an important benefit beyond education: free childcare. And when school's out, things can get complicated. From Miami, WLRN's Rowan Moore Garrity reports.
Over spring break, Wanda Gomez says her sons knew exactly where they wanted to spend the afternoon.
They say, today's the pool day. But like, we cannot go to pool because I have to work.
And that's how it goes all summer long. Gomez has a 5-year-old and a 14-year-old. And she often brings them along to her job registering new voters outside a local grocery store.
It's more difficult when they start, Mommy, I'm hungry. Mommy, I'm tired. Mommy, I'm thirsty.
Gomez says there's no way she could afford childcare for every shift she has to work. Most parents in her situation rely on a patchwork of favors from relatives and tag teaming, where one spouse works early and the other works late. Even so, lots of parents miss work altogether or make the tricky decision of leaving their kids at home.
Often in low-income families, the choices between leaving your kids home alone or getting fired, becoming homeless, and losing your kids. Which would you do?
Joan Williams runs the Center for Work-Life Law at University of California, Hastings. She says most workplaces are set up for employees who have somebody else to take care of their children.
And who does that describe? It describes a dad of the 1950s.
As for our school schedule, with a long summer break,
our school year is still designed around the agrarian calendar.
From the days when kids were expected to help out on the family farm all summer. Today, just a fraction of the American workforce gets childcare benefits from employers, and those benefits are mostly absent from lower-paying jobs. Marianne Rainey is a single mother of five who works at a McDonald's here. She's got another idea of how to solve this.
I try to find an all-year-round school. My kids hate it, but hey, more school, the better.
In the meantime, she says she'll call on her sister and her mother to help her get through the summer. In Miami, I'm Rowan Moore Garrity for Marketplace.
And just in time for all those Memorial Day barbecues, retail prices of ground beef are at their lowest in 2 years. According to Bloomberg, bumper grain crops have made it cheaper to feed cattle, and ranchers have been expanding their herds. And while you're stocking up, Bloomberg's price index for seven barbecue staples, including ice cream and potato chips, is down more than 1% from this time last year. In Washington, I'm Amy Scott with the Marketplace Midday Update. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.